All right, we are going to be back in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple to the right of the firstborn. And then in verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Father, we thank you for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, his coming, and then your revealing his purpose for us here upon the earth, that we might know him, that our affections might be drawn out toward him, that our mind might be filled with the knowledge of him. And this is our greatest joy, O Lord, to know him, to love him, and to serve him. We pray, Lord, that you would increase that love in us, our understanding of him, and establish us firmly in that love. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. We looked at this man, Simeon, the person of Simeon. We'll look tonight some at the message, just a few thoughts concerning the message of Simeon, that he had the encouragement, it must have been, to the heart of Mary and Joseph, as well as the wonderment that it gave them as also. It says that in verse 26, it was revealed to Simeon by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So here we have divine revelation. There was a long period of silence from the time of Malachi, in which we have no prophet that appears upon the scene to comfort the hearts of God's people or reprove the hearts of God's people, but they have the revelation of the Old Testament to do that. But now we have the Lord Christ coming, and suddenly there is an appearance of those who are prophesying under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. This man, we would not have known even what was spoken to him of the Holy Ghost, except that the Spirit of God tells us what had already been revealed to him by the Spirit of God. So it's not that the Spirit of God was absolutely absent from the saints, but here we have a man who is already underneath the influences of the Holy Spirit and the prophetic spirit that we did not know, but it says that it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost at some point that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This comes from the mind of the Spirit of God. Who can know the mind of God but God's Spirit? And to know the purposes of God, the fullnesses of time, when he will accomplish his purposes. This was extraordinary. It was personal to Simeon. and certainly gave authority to his message. It was a measurable prophecy. There are those who pretend to prophecy, but oftentimes it's never measurable. It is always ambiguous. This was very measurable, that he would not die until the person of the Lord Jesus Christ came upon the scene. And this was not something commonly known, that this babe was the Lord's Christ. And so here he is in the temple. He comes, it says in verse 27, by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. And so we can say, and we can apply, I think, properly, that as we are led by the Spirit of God, we will be led to the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be led to His worship. We will be led to further knowledge of Him in the revelation of Christ our Lord. And it says that Simeon then takes Him up in his arms. It appears by the text that it was while the parents were bringing the child in that this man appears and, as it were, takes the child from their arms to then lift him up and to bless him. And we note the affection that Simeon has toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He took him up in his arms. He wanted to hold the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not just see the Lord Jesus Christ, but he handled him as well. Even as John says in 1 John, they had seen him, handled him, and heard him with their own ears. And so the affection that Simeon has toward the Lord Jesus Christ, he holds the Lord Jesus Christ dear. And he offers him up to God as if he is being offered up, a thank offering to God. And this one who will be offered up through the eternal Spirit, an offering to God, a sacrifice. He eulogizes God. He blesses God. So he recognizes that this one is sent from God. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ will, throughout his ministry, emphasize to those who do not believe in him as well as those who do, is that he was sent from God. Simeon recognizes it already. And it is encouraging to our hearts to see how far along Simeon was in his understanding of the Messiah, understanding that it was going to be one in human flesh, because he's holding a baby while he is talking about the salvation of God. This is the salvation of God. And while others may not have had difficulty recognizing that, Simeon, through his own study of the Word of God and that which God had helped him to understand, he recognizes this. And he says, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word, that I can die now. And this seems very much to be the speech of an aged man. He calls himself a bondman. He is the servant. He is the slave of the Lord. Lord, let your servant depart in peace. I am your servant. I am your slave. And now I can depart from this world and from the duties that you have given to me while I was here upon the earth. He may have been very aged. He may have been feeling his age at that point severely, for all we know. But he says, now you can let your servant depart in peace. Because until he had seen the Lord's Christ, he could not have that kind of peace. Because, first of all, it had been revealed to him that he would. And he wanted to see the promise of God fulfilled. He was proving out the Lord. He knew the Lord was true and right and just. But no doubt, just like us as Christians, at times we have doubts that enter into our minds that we must rebuke and refute according to the Word of God. Simeon is glad now he has seen the Lord's Christ as was predicted. And so now he can depart in peace. And it is the only way that a man can depart in peace from this world, is by having seen the Lord Jesus Christ, having seen him in the pardon and forgiveness of sins, not just having seen him on the page of Scripture in an academic way, but having the eyes of our soul opened to the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the salvation that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that opening of the eyes which we must see if we are to have that peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, he says. And it was a divine revelation to know that this infant was the Savior. That is a revelation from God. And every man who knows Christ truly has had it revealed to him from above. It has been revealed by the Father to him that this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. We need those eyes to see. Moses said to the children of Israel, yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. As he spoke of their 10 rebellions as they went through the wilderness, and how many of them there in Israel still did not know the true and living Messiah because they had not eyes to see and ears to hear. Christ often in his ministry would say, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Do we have ears to hear? Stephen got himself into trouble in his sermon when he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Ghost, just like your fathers did. So do you. They looked for a temporal king, an earthly warrior king. They looked for the Davidic dynasty to be renewed with a warrior king. For the promise of God was that David would always have a descendant upon the throne. They knew that promise. But the Davidic dynasty had fallen upon hard times. David's line now was obscure. It was powerless. They were living under the power of the Roman Empire. But Simeon saw in this infant the promise of God and the consolation of Israel. In this infant, he understood, was all of their hopes and desires. He would be the consolation of Israel. Joseph and Mary were both direct descendants of David. But the fortunes of the house of David were diminished. David was anointed to be king. Joseph had no such anointing upon him, though he had the Spirit of God. But Joseph's son would be anointed from on high to preach the gospel, bind up the broken hearts, and once again establish that Davidic dynasty. David, you remember, defeated Goliath and he went on to fight the Lord's battles in Israel. Joseph would not strap on armor. He would ply his trade as a carpenter, but he had the shield of faith. And he had the sword of the Spirit. And his son had the Spirit without measure. And his son went out to destroy the Goliaths of unbelief. He fought the Lord's battles for 3 years of his ministry and accomplished a great redemption at the end of it. David was sung about in the streets. Joseph had no songs sung about him, so far as we know. But his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, they would sing hosannas to him as he entered into Jerusalem. David built a kingdom by his sword, and he brought about peace in Israel. Joseph had no kingdom, no wealth, but his son was the king who would build the kingdom of God and bring about peace by his own death. And we are told that in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 15 and verse 16. When it says, after this, to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof and set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called. The ruin of the Davidic dynasty, both the dynasty of the king sitting upon the throne and the worship of God, would be rebuilt once again, not through Joseph, but through his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. For mine eyes, Simeon says, have seen thy salvation. This is thy salvation. This is the king. This is the Davidic dynasty. This is the reestablishment of it, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, It was not to be done in a corner, nor was it to stay in a little strip of land there in Palestine. Isaiah says in his gospel, "The Lord has made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." John says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory," quoting Isaiah, "we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we beheld His glory." Isaiah again said, "And He has made my mouth like a sharp sword in the shadow of His hand. He has hidden me, made me a polished shaft. In His quiver He has hidden me." Speaking of the servant of the Lord, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prepared to go before all peoples. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people Israel. And so it was too small a thing for the Lord Jesus Christ just to redeem Israel, but He would redeem men out of every nation and every tongue to give light to the nations that were walking in darkness, to the Gentiles who needed light, which would be all of our descendants. All of those who, the tribes of the earth, whether it was the Germanic tribes, Scandinavian tribes, African tribes, Oriental tribes, these were the nations that were dwelling in darkness. Those tribes of Britain, before they were civilized, were pagans. They were running around in every kind of idolatry and wickedness. It is giving light to those who burn their children in the fire as a part of their religious worship. Those who cannibalized one another in the New Hebrides. Those who burned their widows with them at their death in India. Those who bowed down to stocks and stones here in North America. Those who bowed to gold and silver and federal notes in our day. Drug abuse, drunkenness, religious sex trafficking all over the world. He is a light to lighten the Gentiles. A light to lighten the nations is what this Lord Jesus Christ is. And the glory of my people Israel. There was a whole world in darkness, but then there was His people Israel as well. And He was to be the glory of His people. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God." They had the oracles of God. They had this light that was to go to the rest of the nations. He is the light to the nations. He is the glory of His people Israel. They already had this light. They had it in the oracles of God. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 4, Paul says, "Who are the Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." He is the glory of His people, Israel. He is the one who was spoken of in all of the oracles of God. He is that thread of Scripture, that redemption, the Messiah. He is the covenant keeper, of whom the covenants were all pointing to. He is the service of God. He is the very preeminence of the service of God, whether it was in the sacrifices that were made, that were pointing to Christ, or the incense that was being lifted up to God. It was all about Christ. He is the glory of His people Israel, the promised deliverer. And He is the one through whom, in the flesh, this Christ would come. He is the glory of His people. Arise and shine, says Isaiah, your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness, the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, he says in chapter 40, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So here we have that prediction that while darkness covered the earth, the Gentiles would come to their light. Whose light? Israel's light. The glory of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Isaiah says, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and glory. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And Joseph and his mother marvel at these things, of course. Here they are with a babe in their arms, whom they know to be human. They have to feed the child. They have to change the child's diaper. They have to have the child circumcised according to the law. They know this is truly man. But what they are being told is that he is not just truly man, but he is truly God as well. And so they marvel that the babe that's in their arms is being predicted as one who will give light to the entire world and who will be the glory of Israel that was promised. And Simeon blessed them, it says, and they needed the blessing of God. As parents who were under the curse of Adam, yet redeemed by Christ, as parents, we all feel the responsibility of a human soul that's given to us in the rearing of that soul. But I cannot know or imagine what the thoughts were of Joseph and Mary as they're being told that the child that they have is the very Son of God. And what must have passed through their minds, the Scripture simply says that they marveled. They marveled at these things. And so Simeon blesses them in the midst of this work that God has given to them in the rearing of this child, and says to Mary, his mother. And now he turns to Mary. And again, it seems to be because what he is going to prophesy of speaks of Mary's heart being torn and referring to the crucifixion, referring to perhaps the ministry of Christ as well, when Joseph very well may have been out of the picture by now, may have passed from this life. Because he turns to Mary, he turns to his mother, and he says, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel. And a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. This Christ, this child that you hold, who is the glory of Israel and the light to the rest of the world, this child will be the dividing line here in Israel. This child will be the dividing line throughout the whole world. And that families will be divided over this child. Some will be stumbled by him, which the Scripture predicted, and some will be saved. Some would fall like Judas into perdition, while others would rise like Zacchaeus into glory. Some would fall to mocking Christ and damning their own soul. Some would rise to adore Christ, like Mary Magdalene, out of whom seven devils were cast. Some would curse God and die, like one of the thieves on the cross. Others would entreat God and live, like the other thief on the cross. This child is set for the rising of some and the fall of some. But whether they rise or fall, it is related to this child and their relationship to this child, this person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will be for a sign that shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts might be revealed. He gave them one sign, he said. It was the sign of Jonah. 3 days and three nights the Son of Man would be in the heart of the earth and then be raised from the dead. His presence was an offense to many men. He was a sign spoken against by men. He came to his own and his own received him not, that the thought of many hearts might be revealed. The thoughts of men's hearts are revealed by this person. Go talk to your neighbor. Go talk to your fellow worker. Go talk to your relative. Name the name of Jesus Christ. Explain to them the person and work of Jesus Christ. Explain to them that unless they leave father, mother, brother, and sister and follow Him, they will perish forever. And the thoughts of their hearts will be revealed. It will come out where they stand concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Share with them plainly Christ and you will know the reaction. You will know what's going on in their hearts. When He was upon this earth, He spoke the unvarnished truth to men. They called Him illegitimate. They counseled to kill Him. They threatened others who wanted to associate with Him and said that they would be cast out of the synagogue if they did. The thoughts of their hearts were revealed. Revealed by this one, by this Lord Jesus Christ. And so Simeon, as he shares this, he shares with Mary the fact that he prophesies the fact that this Christ is going to be the dividing line in the world and that she herself will have to enter into sufferings on account of having a Christ child as her child. Every mother in Israel wanted to be the one who bore the Christ, who brought the Christ into the world. But little did they know the cost that would be involved in Mary bringing Him into the world and being the one. That she and Joseph, it would be spoken for all their lives that Christ was illegitimate because of a refusal to believe in the incarnation of Christ, the virgin birth. And she would have to face the reality that men would hate her son. That while some would flock and love him, that out of that flocking crowd, many of them would turn upon him later and crucify him and kill him. And so that she would have, as Simeon says, she also would have a sword to go through her heart. But what we find with Mary is that she does not reject that. She ponders all these things in her heart, and when the time comes that the sword pierces through her own soul, she receives it as from the Lord, because she remains at the cross, because she remains faithful, because she's found among the congregation. She does not say, well, this is too hard to follow Christ. But rather, she counts the cost and decides that it is like Moses, that Moses would rather spend his time with the despised people of God than to live with the riches of Egypt. And so Mary does as well. And God calls us to the same. That if we are to associate with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, anyone who has shared the Lord Jesus Christ with someone who does not know the Lord, and perhaps at this point the Lord is not working in their heart, you know that their thoughts are revealed by what you say. You can think of those times in which you have witnessed the men and you have seen their countenance change. And you've seen, for some of them, anger comes over them. For some of them, there's a dismissal of a sneer and a laugh. But the thoughts of their hearts are revealed by this Lord Jesus Christ. Different. You could talk about Buddha all day long. You could talk about other religions all day long. And they would discuss it with you and that sort of thing. But when it comes to Christ, there's a difference. And that's because He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is God of very gods, begotten, not created. It is because that they know there is a God. It is because the Scriptures are self-authenticated and they witness to the truth. It is because there's a power there. And there's a power in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a power they fear. It's a power they hate. And at times, if God redeems their heart, it's a power that they will love. But there is no neutral stand with this one. He forces the issue. Christ forces the issue. As the Apostle Paul is going to say at the end of our book of Corinthians, let any who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ be anathema. Be anathema. You either love Him, adore Him, which His disciples did, who lived their lives to their martyrdoms in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, or you hate Him, want to kill Him, or ignore Him altogether. But this Simeon brings this prophecy. Once again, this is, from all we know, he is an ordinary man, a man who has studied the Scriptures himself, not a priest, not a prophet, except that he does prophesy here under the influence of the Holy Ghost. And his prophecy is consistent with everything that the Lord Jesus Christ teaches when he comes to ministry as well. And it is consistent with everything that not only he taught, but then he then experienced, and Mary experienced as well. What a blessing to have the revelation of God, the revelation of Christ to our souls. May God bless you as you contemplate the Lord Jesus Christ and all of His glory and His incarnation, His coming over this season. And as we sometimes have opportunity during this season, some doors are open that aren't normally open. Some hearts are open that aren't normally open to share the gospel of our Lord. And so take advantage of it. We will take advantage of every open heart, every door that's given to us at any time. And may God bless you as you are among your families and extended families to show forth the light of this Christ, who is the light to the world and the glory of His people Israel.